Coming up on Roundabout, we get shanghaied in the Big Apple. Find out what I mean by that right after this. Roundabout is sponsored by Advance Auto Parts. Visit our website, roundaboutshow.com, to get up to $30 off your next purchase. Do it!
This is Roundabout.
Welcome to Roundabout, episode 79, our weekly chat covering car culture, vehicle reviews, and some of the auto news you may have missed.
Greetings, everyone. You've all done very well. This week, we're devoting the entire show to coverage of the New York Auto Show, which most of the ROAB crew attended, except Ben. And, of course, the Shanghai Auto Show as well, which nobody did. And joining us via the cyberweb this week, we have a whole mess of guests. Why don't we go around the horn and find out who's here? I don't even know everyone. So who we got here? We've got Dalibor Domovsky, the one and only.
How's it going, everybody?
Glad you can make it.
Dalibor. This is Roundabout.
It never gets old.
No, yeah, it does.
I need that for my ringtone, though.
Yeah.
And, of course, we have Charles Chrome joining us as well.
Greetings.
From Livonia.
From the kitchen.
not far from me.
How is the backyard doing?
Not so good. But I'll tell you what, since you asked, the basement's starting to come together. Basement got drywalled.
How about that? That's great progress. I didn't know you were finishing the basement.
Well, all that water from the backyard ended up in the basement.
Oh, God.
With how many books, pool. Charles?
About 3,500 books. I only lost three, but I had to move them all upstairs, so that was a little bit of a slap.
And are you still battling your lung infection from the black mold, or?
I'm just pretending that part didn't even happen. I found out I got asbestos flooring down there anyway beneath the carpeting, so.
Oh, man. The walking health hazard.
So who's next? Who else we got?
We got Colin Bird.
Hey.
From Chicago.
Hey, dog.
We can't see.
And he's on the loop again.
Yeah, I kind of, I still believe in, the Victorian privacy, so you guys can't see what I'm doing right now. I could be doing anything.
Apparently you are an avian-themed pressure cooker, and Ben just released the valve.
No, I decided I'm a prairie chicken, one of the last surviving prairie chickens of Illinois.
You're into privacy, Colin? Because you do a podcast, you do our show, you have a Facebook, you have two Twitter accounts, and you write articles that get featured on Yahoo?
Yeah, well, that's still my version of privacy, so.
But no open webcam. Privacy.
Right.
Privacy webcam. 2.0.
Right. I'm not going to share my desktop with y'all, so don't ask.
Of course, we also have Rumblestrip.
Hola.
Eric Tritko. Yeah. Sitting in his study, it looks like. Many
yes.
leather-bound books.
Ew.
Smell of rich mahogany.
Actually, that's cherry shelving.
Okay. Oh, good choice of timber. I approve. Joey Naranjo, lower left for the block. Of course, that'll
lower
be nothing to anyone listening.
So she's upper middle left.
Yeah.
It all depends who you're talking to.
Yeah.
I'm a centrist on the show, Craigie.
We should explain for our audio listeners that we're actually, and this explains the audio quality as well, we're all coming in via Skype, and everyone almost is doing video. Yeah, and Craig's even coming in via cell phone because of, well, living out in the middle
of
nowhere.
Because he lives in the boonies.
That's right.
That's right. Make fun of Craig.
Well, thanks for having me, Craigie.
This was all Ben doing.
Thank you, Ben.
Oh, you're so welcome. And Eric is now Anthony Bourdain.
I'm no colonel.
you're a rear admiral, Stephen J. Ewing.
Like the eyebrow goes up.
Hi, everyone.
You could make it. Am I forgetting anyone? Except Ben.
Oh, Anthony Bourdain is here.
Yeah. You can see on the video that Anthony Bourdain has joined us. So that's nice. That's
Tony!
So
I'm just back from traveling the world, and I need a cigarette.
So, well, we are all together. How about that? To discuss, like I mentioned a few minutes ago, the New York and Shanghai auto shows. So, oh, but before we get into that, I've got to mention one quick thing. We've got a contest going on right now. We're giving away a set of, I believe, 7 bungee cords. Of perfect bungees, they're called.
One for every day of the week.
Who voted that, Ben, on the site? Remember?
I don't recall, but someone was excited.
It doesn't matter. You get 7 bungee cords. You can enter to win. You've got to like us on Facebook, facebook.com/roundaboutshow. You've got to like us and leave a comment. We're giving these away May 6th, so get in there and start liking.
No, I mean, to be clear, you don't really have to like us. You can hate us, but, you know, just like us, if you know what I mean.
On the Facebook.
On the Facebook. Exactly. Here's
Facebook
some.
Like us.
I'll throw up some.
Like us.
Here's some video of these
like
perfect bungees.
Quote.
They're such pretty colors.
I know, aren't they?
What do they do?
They're made out of
polyurethane. They're beautiful beiges and browns and beiges.
Well, what makes them so perfect?
You can play tug of war.
They're made out of polyurethane, and they don't crack. They don't crumble. They don't.
Why is the other one depressed?
They don't poison the water table like other bungee cords will. These are good products here.
Did you guys make this video?
We did.
Really?
Keep your eyes out for that.
This is what Craig did instead of working on a script.
Those are Craig's hands, right?
Nothing but the best.
They're waterproof, even.
Oh, is that
God, can I enter?
So anyway, yeah.
I'm pretty sure we were here to talk about automobiles.
I'm pretty sure we were too. But let me just reiterate, go to facebook.com/roundaboutshow, like our page, and leave a comment on anything between now and May 6th to be eligible to win this set of handsome bungee cords. They're perfect.
They're multicolored.
Doot, doot,
doot. All right. And with that, Ben, I believe we can move on.
I think we should.
The potatoes of the show here.
So, making me hungry.
Some of the big reveals from New York. Let's throw this one out here. 2012 Honda Civic. Did you, any of you that were at the show, get a chance to check this car out?
What I thought was kind of funny is, technically, the Civic was revealed a long time ago. In fact, we drove it. Like, a lot of people drove it way before the show even commenced.
Right, the embargo for the review was the same day as the first media day, right?
Right. So when, you know, all the rest of the media are like, ooh, there's the Civic, we're all like, we drove it.
I think technically the big deal was it actually went on sale the first day of media day at the auto show.
Yeah they announced.
And the reviews, it was crazy.
They officially announced the pricing and the fuel economy. The big thing is that the hybrid is going to get 44 miles per gallon in city, highway, and combined.
Yeah, I think that makes it. Doesn't it make it the second most fuel efficient car now? Or,
I think.
I think it was already. Actually, I have to look that up in a minute.
Aside from,
I've got a question though. Could they have made it any uglier?
I don't think it's ugly.
It's not ugly, but
it's not ugly.
It's pretty homely. It's certainly a step back from the 2011s, the previous generation. I like those.
Yeah. It's just forgettable. That's all it is.
It was already an excellent car. I mean,
what is the interior? What's wrong with the inside, though? It's like the most homely, most poorly designed, from a styling standpoint at least, dashboard I've seen in a long time, and it's worse than the current version.
It's like it's gone backwards a couple generations.
Yes, they just don't get it.
Steven, size wise, is this thing about the same size as a 2000 model year Accord coupe?
It's about as big as a Civic.
Well, plus, it is
convenient because that's what it is.
Well put.
From the pictures, it looks like it's even bigger than the last Civic.
It's like a late 90s Accord coupe.
Okay. It's on the same platform, Eric. So they actually did make the interior bigger, but it's the same dimensions as the last one.
I still wish we could get the Civic they sell in Europe because that one actually is cooler.
You could take that sentence and replace Civic with any other.
Insert generic.
See, the thing that bothers me, it's got that little like quarter window in the front by the side view mirror. Why?
It's for visibility.
Yeah. Japanese cars love doing that.
How much are these going to cost?
They start at $16,000, a little underneath it.
Mm-hmm. Why is this? You guys don't think this is ugly, but why does the Cruise, the Elantra, the Focus, they all look really nice? And this.
You think the Cruise looks nice?
Does it really?
I was just gonna say that.
Like,
come on. What's your stance?
I don't like the Cruise. I think it looks boring, but
I don't know. This at least looks
like
a Civic.
Yeah, it still doesn't do
better or well, mostly for worse.
I have a theory about that. I wanted to see pass it by you guys that the having an evolutionary design for a car like this, since Honda relies overwhelmingly on leasing, that's the reason that they do these iterative designs, is because the resale value would still be good on the last generation model. Does that make any sense? This because like you lose resale value if the car is dramatically different than the other one. No,
I don't know enough about that.
It's mostly just because Honda buyers don't want anything too exciting. They just want what they've always had.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, so moving from the C segment down to the B segment, we've got the new Kia Rio, which actually looks nice.
So cute.
So cute.
It is.
Looks like a pumpkin seed.
It's like a little jelly bean.
Yeah. So Kia got it right. Peter Schreyer doing a great job. I'm assuming he had a hand in this.
I think the back end of the hatch is adorable.
I'm surprised that so it almost has 140 horsepower, right? And it's 30-40, and that's just a regular model without any like louvers and all these things that GM's putting into theirs and low resistance tires.
Yeah.
Well, don't forget the Cruise is a much bigger car.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Hey, sorry to circle back. Was anything raised that the new Civic was only a 5-speed automatic?
No, because that's what Honda's been doing forever.
Okay.
Imagine if the Detroit 3 were still doing that. They'd be crucified.
But the gas mileage on the Civic is better than the Cruise, like the actual Cruise models that people buy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, it's lighter for sure.
Yeah.
Honda Magic. Light vehicles. But Kia Rio, 138 horsepower, 1.6-liter four-cylinder, direct injection. 6-speed manual or automatic. Sounds pretty fun.
Mm-hmm. Did anyone notice that this one has start-stop, but the accent doesn't mention it?
Did
anyone ask anyone there if they're going to maybe give the accent start-stop too? And the push-button start?
Ooh, push-button start.
It's kind of weird that the Rio would get it, because I thought accent was – I mean, sorry, Hyundai was supposed to be the more premium of the two.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they can claim that anymore, really.
Yeah, I mean, because it kind of goes with Optima versus Sonata. The Optima seems like a more premium vehicle.
Yeah,
I just had an Optima dropped off yesterday, and that thing is, to me, it's nicer than
they're awesome.
The interior is nicer than the Sonata to me. So,
do you have the turbo?
No, just the regular. But
I don't like the turbo Sonata anyway.
But you know what's funny? The little front of the Rio reminds me a little bit of the Veloster, and that has that little upturn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Kia Rio, and does it say when it goes on sale? You guys know?
Oh, this summer.
Okay.
One of the interesting things you mentioned about the front end of the Rio and how it kind of mimics the Veloster. It's interesting to note, I guess, that Kia has been doing a really good job of getting kind of a good strong brand identity together. When you look at that Optima, I think the Optima is a really nice vehicle, and even some of the changes that we saw, you know, the rest of the New York show. But I just hope they don't get too close to what Hyundai is doing, because once you start getting a little bit of that overlap, your brand character starts to disappear. So hopefully Kia can maintain this kind of squared off, I don't know, V-shaped bow tie they have for that front end, but it it's pretty hot right now, so hopefully they keep it.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to say one correction. Sorry, it's fall. It comes out in the fall.
Okay.
Whoops.
So look for it in a few months then, really. Next up, we've got the Mazda 3. Not a whole lot's changed here, but the big news is under the hood. Sky Active engines and transmissions. Exciting.
Did you say Skynet?
It's self-aware.
Skynet's coming.
Competitive.
Yeah, Skylab, they went live yesterday. Should all be dead.
And Craig has
Mazda 3,
no idea.
148 horsepower, 155 horsepower, 140 pound-feet of torque, 2-liter force. 40 miles per gallon, huh? Win, win, win.
And it doesn't, it's not so cutesy anymore.
Yeah, they redid the front.
Yeah.
It's still smiling.
It looks better.
Yeah, a little smile.
Then weren't they supposed to show the Menagerie, too?
They did, but that.
The Trois?
No one covered it.
Well, it's because that debuted in Geneva.
Right, yeah.
So this was like the North American debut of that. And, that concept.
It's a CX-5 now, right?
Yeah. It's going to be called CX-5 because it's going to be coming to production and blah, blah, blah.
So, you guys know what's special about the Sky Active G gasoline engine other than the ridiculous name? It's got direct injection.
They use it for...
what?
No, sorry.
Go ahead.
Stupid Skype. No, they just use it for everything.
I had an aneurysm.
That's the way they branded everything. It's a Sky Active suspension, too. I mean, it's just whatever it was before. It's just rebranded.
It's ridiculous is what it is. So, yeah, Sky Active manual transmission.
Ooh.
So 40 miles per gallon, 2012 Mazda 3. You can get high, sky high. What's next? Oh, how about, Michelle, this is one for you. Kia Soul. They did a little rework on it for you.
They did. I think it's... I like it. I think it looks good.
I don't know if I'm sold on that front end anymore. The LEDs are kind of killing it for me.
It does seem like the grill's gonna... Is it me or is it smaller? Like, a lot smaller? Like,
yeah.
To the point where it's like almost like, why is it on there? Is that an electric car?
Right.
Although, you know, at the party, they did have the... Soul Shake drink, which Dan Gray from MPG-O-Matic and I decided was actually hamster urine. It was
it was only the best from Kia.
It was made with pear juice, but I don't know. I love that line that goes all the way around it. Mm-hmm. Dolly, am I
like
right or wrong?
Don't break.
With you. No, that line is just – it's an awesome accent feature they have. It goes all the way around from the front side, and then it kind of curves back up.
Yeah.
The one thing that I'm noticing, you said that grill looks like it's getting smaller. It's starting to develop carp mouth, which is what I called the old Chryslers from the late 90s. They had that giant open mouth grill look, and the Soul's starting to turn into that. So.
Speaking of that character line, it's the Chrysler Sebring. Like, well, it would be one generation ago. It's the 200, but technically two generations had that sort of like, almost a very similar character line that ran around it. Do you remember, Dolly?
Yeah, I think they didn't execute it in exactly the same way. I think Chrysler's was more kind of straight from front to back, whereas this you actually can follow that line up along the was the D pillar and. Back over towards the front, which is kind of a nice take on it.
The 1.6-liter DI4 banger, 135 horsepower. You can also get a 2-liter 4 with 160 ponies. There you go. You can replace the Spectra, Michelle.
And it has UVO. UVO.
Yeah, you know, I was going to mention that. You know,
UVO.
Has anyone noticed that that's been delayed or something? Because they said it was going to come out, and it never really came out on the Sorento or the Soul. Like it was supposed to.
Because they're probably renaming it. It's so stupid what they call it.
UVO.
How does it stand for your voice? Riddle me that.
Your voice, oh.
Oh, my.
Oh, my.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, when did they come out? In 2009? Or was it 2008?
They came out in 9 as a 10 model.
Right. And I know it's their second best-selling model, so I understand why they... are doing this, but it's just really quick, these updates.
That seems like a good time to do a mid-cycle on that car.
Yeah, I didn't realize how old it was. I didn't realize it was 2009. It seems so new.
Hey, Dolly, you're being asked in the chat room, what do you think of the color?
Of that that
the soul,
brownish.
Yeah. Zoom brown.
I've got to see it in person. Brown is still kind of a hot color, but I think this brown in particular looks really muted. But I got to see it in person.
Well, speaking of muted colors,
the pictures, I don't like it.
the Chevy Malibu Eco they showed in a kind of, I would guess, is that a smoky sort of grayish blue, or am I just colorblind?
You're sitting in the dark, for one thing.
You see the picture RT, though.
The what, Charles?
The Avenger RT.
You want to talk about the Avenger RT?
I'll just make a little joke there, sorry.
You know what's interesting? One of the guys that works at the plant where the Malibu is made was tweeting at me yesterday that he said, first of all, it's like completely different than the concept. And I was asking him what the problem was. And he said that in the hatching area, he saw the car, a new one sitting in the hatching area where they're going to be building them. He said,
hatchery?
Yeah, exactly. he said it was an E-Assist model, which I guess Car and Driver had some pictures of. And so it's being built in the same plant as the Buick LaCrosse, and it's what the Saturn Aura was supposed to be. And then they canned that. So, yeah, just FYI.
You know what's interesting, right, that they said they pushed the launch date up, right, to the beginning of January of 2012, but realistically they can't push it up because they can't get that engine online. That's what I've been talking to people about, the 2.5 liter. So that's the reason that all the regular models, the LS, the LT, and the LTZ, are going online still 6 months later, and only the Eco model is going to come in January. So it's kind of like the Regal launch, where it was really, really expensive, and it didn't sell well at the beginning. I guess it's still happening with the Regal, actually.
Yeah, I imagine the E-Assist Malibu is going to have to be pretty expensive.
Yeah, I'd think so.
I thought that I heard that the E-Assist system only added like $1,500 to $2,000.
I mean, that's probably possible because, what, the LaCrosse is going to go on sale for under $30,000. But they might be doing that for marketing reasons, because that would be a $4,000 price increase from this model year.
But 38 miles per gallon, eh?
Yeah. See, the problem with that mileage, though, is that it doesn't mean anything if you don't know what the 2.5 liter gets. Why would they tell you that and not tell you that the 2.5 gets 34 miles to the gallon? And you could be like, okay.
Marketing trickery.
Yep.
Trickery and deceit.
Right, because that way you buy the more expensive model and they can make more profit margin.
And that way Edmund's inside line can say GM lied.
Over and over again.
They already did that. Yeah. So overall, Malibu, pretty nice looking car, not going to lie. The current one was pretty nice, I thought. The new one looks a little more aggressive.
Thoughts? New one looks good. Speaking of looking good, I want to talk about this Jaguar for a minute. They refreshed the XF and the XK. And the XF especially looks a lot more. It sort of has like the XJ's headlight treatment. And they've all got these new LED running lamps on it, and they had a red XFR at the show. This thing is just so good looking.
It's okay.
I mean,
certainly
it's okay.
Red. It's a Jaguar. It's going to be kind of crappy.
You know what's funny? Because I didn't work on the story. Like, I can't honestly tell the difference between it and the XF, the old one. Maybe I'm just get confusing it with the XJ or something.
You must, because the XF, it had those sort of bulgier headlights. Mm-hmm. And
okay. Yeah. No, never mind. I just pulled it up. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
They were like semicircular on the bottom, weren't they?
On the top.
Kind of dipped down. Oh, was it the top?
I thought.
It kind of had like a circular.
Mm-hmm. Anyway,
but
just
don't you miss the jumping cat on the front? And I have to say, I
totally
really
miss
do
that.
Not like this the profile of a jumping cat on the back. I was behind one the other day on the freeway, and it just looks like a blob.
It looks like a Mustang, almost.
I wish they hadn't done that.
No, I do miss the cat on the hood.
European pedestrian crash laws.
Bullshit laws. Market done.
Done and done.
Very nice. Malibu, you guys done with that one? Throwing it away? A candy wrapper. All right, next up, Steven, we got to defer to you. FRS.
FRS.
Freaking really sweet.
Freaking really sweet, exactly. That's what the Scion VP called it. That's what he said FRS stands for. This car, I'm sort of torn on this one because I think it's gorgeous and it's a really cool idea. But the long and short of it is this is the same rear drive Toyota Subaru platform that we've been seeing over and over and over again. And it's just getting so... Yeah, it's just getting so drawn out there, you know, that I'm just like, give us the car.
The Volt called, said you're taking too long to come out.
Right, like we've seen the Toyota versions of it. We've seen the Subaru chassis and engine of it, and now we're seeing a Scion concept version. It's like, just bring us the damn car.
It's still more than we've ever seen of a Model S, mind you.
Yes.
Do you guys know what the FRS really stands for? Because like, it's FRS Sports Coupe. So
no, it's FRS is front engine, rear wheel drive, sport.
Sports, right? And then they always said at a sports coupe. So it really is front engine, rear wheel drive, sports coupe.
I've never seen it with sports coupe. I've always just seen it branded as FRS.
It was on
the Department of the Redundancy Bureau called. They're trying to get hold of you.
I do love, though, that this thing has this is so conceptual. I love it. It's got 18-inch carbon ceramic brake rotors.
That's ridiculous.
That are fixed to the wheels like a motorcycle.
It's awesome.
Yeah. So the wheel and brake, each wheel and brake disc is about $5,000.
Yes.
Pretty much.
That's an expensive Scion.
Yeah. Well, I
is
know,
that how you say it? I thought it was Scion.
Scion.
I'm familiar with the cost of those ceramic discs, and they're not cheap.
Do you have ceramic brakes on the Ranger?
Yes, I do.
As a matter of fact.
Yeah, I think on this one, though, the only reason they brought it out, right, is they made some Scion tweaks to it, basically.
It's got a sort of different look to it. But it's interesting. They're just talking about how it sort of mimics the AE86 Corolla.
That's
and
bullshit.
Then that the design was inspired by the Toyota 2000 GT and
blah, blah, you know, blah.
Whatever.
Yeah. How much do you think this is going to cost?
Something a little more likely to get into production. Oh, in fact, it is a production car. The Volkswagen Beetle.
The other thing that was kind of cool on the FRS with the wheels is the fact that they were center nut wheels.
Mm-hmm.
Price
to
wise,
answer your question, yeah,
$35,000.
$35,000 for
no.
Scion.
No, no way. Okay. Mid-20s.
There's the Oregon Trail sale, Ben.
Yeah.
Well, did anyone notice?
Scion died of typhoid. FRS died of overpricing. So Volkswagen, Käfer, the Beatles.
It's supposed to be
generation. It took them long enough, didn't it?
God, 10 years?
More, right?
Like that.
7 years.
Yeah.
98 was the first of the new Beetle, right?
That's so insane.
Amazing.
It's funny that they can get away with that, though. Like, not that many people complain.
Hello,
Ford's been doing it forever.
Current Ford Ranger's been around since 1993.
Yeah, but
did anyone notice who had gone to Detroit that they didn't even have an old new Beetle at Detroit? My kids wanted to see one. You know, they love those things, and they didn't even have one.
What's that tell you?
Exactly. So, exactly.
It's pretty the one the 2012 model they unveiled is pretty similar to today's car with a few exceptions. You know, they kind of flatten the roof line. Today's version's got that basically a perfect circle for the roof. Very cartoonish. This is much, much more aggressive, much more grown-up looking. And they did a nice job inside, too, just clicking through the gallery. Very impressed by the look of the interior.
It still has the they still managed to figure a way how to make the Beetle front end look like a Jetta Passat.
You think?
kind of. The lower fascia there.
Yeah. Although, but a very straight profile, it actually looks quite a bit like an original 356.
Hmm. How are the materials? And I didn't get a. Has anyone sat in that one? Is it better than the Jetta?
I haven't been.
Probably the same hard plastic, I guess.
Well, you know, they said they're supposed to be going after Mini with the hat. You know, so if they're really trying to do something like that, I would hope it'd be a little bit higher quality.
There's not a flower vase in it any longer.
Well, you know, they explicitly said they're trying to make it, you know, appeal to men, right?
Right.
More masculine looking.
I do like the interior design. That is slick.
Cool. Yeah, I'd want to mention on that. I mean, the reveal in Detroit of the a lot of the new VW cars, the interiors looked pretty boring. So I'm actually pretty glad to see this new Beetle actually have somewhat of an interesting interior. And they are clearly aiming at Mini with a lot of the some of the aesthetics and that. You know, the Mini door has that big giant circle shape, and you can see the Beetle starting to ape that a little bit. But I'm pretty impressed with this interior. Just from the shots of it, the materials look really good, and the design looks really well. So,
and yeah, I bet you that piano black. This is just speculation, but that piano black trim on the dash and a little on the mm-hmm. wheel. I bet you'll be able to order that custom colors.
Yeah,
I'm guessing.
Maybe
that'll be key. I mean, if they're definitely aiming for a Mini, they're going to have to start looking at some of those custom aspects that Mini's so well known for.
Mm-hmm.
I'm expecting a giant British flag on the top of the Beetle.
On the German car.
Yeah,
I kind of feel bad for the Fiat 500 though, because that's, you know, I mean, this little niche market's getting filled out now, and I don't think the Fiat's really going to be a winner over the Beetle. I think when people are shopping,
Well, except for the fact that I think the Beetle's going to be significantly more expensive.
Yeah, that's probably. I mean, how much is the Fiat 500? It's 15,000.
15 grand is worth anything.
Yeah, and I think the Beetle today is 22 or something. I haven't looked at it recently.
Well, it's a C-segment car, too. Maybe.
You guys know what it's based on? Is it a Golf?
I would assume that's
going to be the Golf Passat.
Okay.
And it's going to the diesel, right? The A diesel?
Yeah, the diesel and a turbocharged 2-liter.
Ending powertrain lineup. Those are great engines, both of them.
Over 50% of all Golfs sold now are now TDIs.
Mm-hmm. Which is awesome.
I know. You can't sell diesels to America. Nope. Can't be done.
Craig, you skipped the 300 SRT8.
Yes, I did.
Why?
Because we are now going to talk about the Subaru and...
No.
Steven wants it all.
The 300 SRT8 is awesome.
It looked really good in that white, just straight stark white like that. Really good.
This is such a cool car. I've always loved the 300 SRT8, even the old one. And the new one, this thing is going to be so, so good. I can already feel it.
Did you see, though, how on the exhaust, it wasn't trimmed out. There was no transition between the actual exhaust and what looks like a dual exhaust on the back. It's actually fake covers that when you are standing kind of below it, you can see that there's like a real exhaust that's under the bumper. And it just looks cheesy because they didn't, there was like a, like, oh, we forgot to transition that.
Did not notice.
I don't know.
Are you done now, Steven?
Screw you.
This is rap video material, though, the SRT8.
Oh, easy.
Oh,
easily.
It's blingable.
The wheels.
Yeah, it's very blingable. Like, yeah.
20-inch wheels.
You were going to skip the Versa, too?
No, don't skip the Versa.
Yeah, don't skip the Versa.
That
why
must
is,
be talked.
Well, that's why you guys are here. You guys have got to get your two cents in. You want to talk about the SRT8, now you want to talk about the Versa.
Remind me again why Craig is running this.
No one knows.
It's a Stephen and Michelle show.
I'd listen to that.
Nissan Versa.
Nissan Versa.
The Versa. The thing I wanted to talk about with the Versa is it's sort of interesting because you see things like exactly, but you see things like the Rio and the Accent and even like the Fiesta that are using really like bold design and they're going for this sort of this sporty feeling. But we talked with the folks at Nissan and they actually said like, yeah, that's well and that's fine and all, but like. The inconspicuous sedans that are simply comfortable and dependable, those are what sell.
Yeah.
I mean, the Versa
and
was...
And at $11,000, it's
right.
Not too bad.
Like, the Versa, Nissan told us the Versa was up, like, 20% last year. And that, speaks volumes of that people just want something that's sort of comfortable and reliable.
It's still outselling the Fiesta, a month
times two.
And they have to do something because they're not going to sell any of those cross cabriolets.
Well, this is basically almost the size of a mid-sized car now in the interior. It's 103 cubic feet.
The Versa has always been a bit bigger than the rest of the cars in its class.
It's nearly a C-segment car,
Yeah.
Did I hear that it's going to be competing in the compact segment and they're bringing over a new subcompact or something?
Yeah, we're going to get the Micra eventually.
Are they going to drop the Sentra then? Well, we talked to them about that too, and they said that the Sentra is going to be a similar size as the Versa, but that's going to be the one that goes after the Fiesta and the other models. It's going to be nicely styled and have a high performance powertrain like it does now.
So they'll offer two compacts.
Essentially, yes. One that's cheap, one that isn't cheap.
It'll be like Tempo and Topaz all over again.
I mean, it makes sense, I guess, if the Sentra is actually based off the Versa or vice versa. I didn't mean to do that, but it happened.
Hey,
Steve,
what happened?
Steven,
okay.
If we have twins, can we call them Tempo and Torso?
Tempo and Topaz? Yeah.
You can keep the beat with the tempo.
No. Crickets.
Okay. No. Subaru Impreza. Another homely Subaru.
Oh, yeah.
Hot.
Okay, tell me, 36 tell me about MPG. One pretty Subaru, though.
Yeah, none of them.
Exactly. They're purposefully ugly cars.
Yeah.
They had to do something to get the fuel efficiency up, and that, I guess they have to point to this.
I mean,
36
Subaru...
miles per gallon on the highway, most fuel-efficient all-wheel drive car, they're claiming.
Yeah, that outbeats the SX4, right? Which is... I can't remember what the gas mileage is, but that was the highest before.
It's true.
So two-liter four-banger, horizontally opposed, of course, 148 horsepower, and a new CVT.
I don't doubt that this thing will still be pretty good to drive.
Well, the big thing is they lightened it a reasonable amount of weight, right?
Yeah, a bit.
Yeah.
Like 100...
The Imprezas have always been pretty decent to drive, the base ones. And you don't have to look at it when you're sitting behind the wheel, so.
Yeah, well, I just had the WRX, that blue one you had, and broke the turn signal on Steven.
I didn't break the turn signal on it. We discussed this. It was broken.
Yeah, but he was drinking, Steven.
Is that what you tell the fleet, Steve? It was broken.
Well, I'll break
yeah,
the.
Yeah, somebody
I'll...
put their foot through the headlight. Yeah, it was like that. I got that.
I'm gonna come.
Yeah, that was a great little car to drive, but just God, the door panels are all rock hard plastic, and it's just not all that comfortable.
Well, yeah, it's funny. I was talking about this with the coworker. I have an STI right now, and it's the same sort of example of like this is the car that I want. Like I love the STI, but I get in it, and I'm like. This interior kind of sucks, and like this sound system isn't good.
$34,000,
and it's $34,000. Yeah,
that's a lot of savings, Craig.
That was Jeff.
Yeah, how'd that
recording.
Just was mentioning that was a lot of savings, Craig.
Oh.
Ben has that recorded.
That's a lot of savings, Craig.
Sounds like a robot.
Okay. Well, Stephen, did you notice on the maybe you've noticed it on the STI you've got right now, but like the door skins are so like thin or something. You open the door handle and you get this sort of hollow sound.
You do.
Sounds really poorly.
You do.
1986 Corolla thickness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He loves it. I mean, his Subarus, though.
I do. I see, that's the thing is, it's not that great of a car in terms of, you know, build quality, but I love Subarus. I do. I know this Impreza is not exactly sexy and it's not exactly, the greatest proposition in the world, but I don't doubt that I'm really going to like driving it. Subarus just have this sort of feeling to them that no other car has.
I have
two
questions.
Subaru a Subaru, I understand.
First off, is this the same engine that's going? This is a new engine, right? Is this the same engine that's going into the Scion Toyota thing? Because they say that that's a 2-liter boxer.
Yeah, I don't know.
They're getting car is getting a 2-liter boxer as well. But I was under the impression that the one in the Toyota Scion thing was going to be closer to 200 horsepower.
But you think it's still the same architecture? So they have the same displacement that they're only telling us that so far.
It could be. I wouldn't rule it out that the two engines are related, but it's not. I don't think it's the exact same one.
Okay. And my other thing is, why can't Subaru just come out with a front-wheel drive car if it's really that important, imperative to have something that's cheaper and like actually compete and have a a compact car instead of just having all mid-sized cars that they – I guess this is a compact car. But you know what I mean? Like, why don't they just do a front-wheel drive car? Like,
because that's their whole thing is they,
that's a recent phenomenon though, right? Right? I mean, what was the last Legacy was front-wheel drive in the late 90s? No?
I don't think so. I think Subaru
Even the Justy was all-wheel drive.
Yeah, I don't know that, Subaru – this isn't just a new thing, and that's sort of always been there.
The Justy came in four-wheel drive, too.
Yeah, we have all-wheel drive cars.
I thought in the 90s that I thought this was a recent marketing thing when they switched to being Australian somehow and everything was all-wheel drive, but never mind.
Well, forget
it. Next up, got to talk about the 2013 Taurus.
Taurus. I was a little tired of the Taurus by the time I left.
Why, Michelle?
Is there a personal story behind that?
No, it's just that I went to three Taurus, kind of events, and I looked at it. And, it looks very much the same as it always did with a little bit more sculpting on the hood. And it's,
Did it lose out a whole lot going on here? Except the addition of an EcoBoost four-cylinder.
Okay.
Base engine.
I thought it was a 3.5.
What?
I thought it was a 3.5 liter, right? The 2 and the
3.5. The SHO is a 3.5 liter EcoBoost, but
yeah, but there's also
going to be a 2 liter. 290 horsepower, I think.
Yeah, there's a base, the 3.5 liter naturally aspirated V6, or you can get the 2-liter EcoBoost 4, and then the show is the one that gets the 3.5 EcoBoost, which did not get more power like we were promised.
Well, I suspect the transmission couldn't handle more power. Would be a plausible explanation, but they're probably given X amount of dollars to do this mid-cycle enhancement refresh, and they ran out of money after they engineered it for the EcoBoost, the 4-cylinder, and tweaked the interior. They probably just ran out of money to
Is it just me or this? Or refresh is just gross, like styling wise. Like, why even bother? I mean, like, it's so obvious. I think even to consumers that this is not a new car. There was no point to do that to the face of it. It doesn't look any better.
I like the new face though. I think it looks a little bit better, to be honest. Especially in the show, guys. I like it.
Do you think it'll sound like that little engineered sound they had on the video at the...
No. Oh, my God, no.
On show day?
No.
What was that?
My STI doesn't even sound like that.
Like, it was Taurus, 2013 Taurus, not a whole lot going on there.
No.
But Jeep Grand Cherokee SRT8.
Mm-hmm. I got a real red wagon.
They used the same show sound effect when they were playing the video of it.
I think the Jeep could do without those LEDs or something. The front end to me is just messed up.
It looks massive, that front end. It's giant. I mean, just looking at the shots of it, I don't know. Maybe painting the grill red isn't doing it for me, but. It just looks huge. It makes the headlamps look tiny, and
I can't figure out what it is though. I don't know if it's the little chrome inserts and the lower air intakes, or if it's the LED strips and how they're sort of like cut out from the middle of the bumper. I just don't know what it is, but there's something about the front end that looks like it should be removed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that chin splitter like effect on the bottom. I don't care for the bumper.
Yeah, it's just weird.
There's a lot going on
there. The cow catcher.
I like how, by the way, that Chrysler doesn't seem to know how to figure out how to integrate adaptive cruise control into the styling of the front end. They're the only automaker that has a giant ass camera always in the front of their cars.
Yeah, well, they've got a limited funds, Colin. They got to spend it wisely, so they put that splitter on instead.
12% interest rate they're paying to the feds.
They're at the whims of their suppliers. The suppliers, it's like, not going to happen. It's going to go in here like this.
But 6.4 liter Hemi, 465 horsepower, 465 torque. Come on.
I'd rather
perfect for $4 a gallon gasoline. Yeah. They have great timing.
Perfect timing.
God, they're so toast.
People will buy these, though, I guarantee it. Mm-hmm. I see people driving Trailblazer SS's around. I mean,
Hey, that was a hot model when it was new.
No.
When it was then, whatever year that was.
Years ago. Well, that's pretty much the New York Auto Show for 2011. Any cars we missed? We could have talked about the Hyundai Accent, maybe, but we got that with the Rio, I think.
Yeah, but the Accent's different.
Yeah, it's different.
What about the Lexus LFGH QR7?
I like that. That's hot.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that one. Last one for New York.
No. We got to talk about the A class too. That's kind of a big deal.
All right, then we'll select this and do the A class. A class.
Okay.
A class.
Okay. It had a nifty grille.
A class.
Which one are we doing first?
The grille is whatever they called it.
Mm-hmm.
No, we're just doing the A class now.
The A class is really interesting. It's coming to America finally though.
Yeah.
I think there's gonna be like four body styles based on this one. A class platform.
Well, when we asked them, they said there was this. The press conference for this was freaking crazy. Some singers.
Yeah, there were singers.
Did anyone find that offensive? By the way, the Janis Joplin thing.
Yeah, that was bad.
What'd they do?
Not what she intended. Well, they used. You know, they. I mean, she should have known this was going to happen. Well, maybe she was young. Never mind.
Oh, Lord,
did you guys hear about the Mercedes-Benz dealer where they had an event there earlier in the week where they showed the A-Class to people? Have you heard about this thing? It's a 5-story tall dealership that encompasses over 7 acres of floor space.
Oh, the Manhattan dealer.
Yeah, in Manhattan, 7 acres.
Well, it goes up, I think. It's like 5.
Yeah, it's 5 stories tall, but still, that's a huge amount of space.
And I heard store their cars in New Jersey.
I was going to say, it's all the people on the upper West Side who are traders on Wall Street who use it to drive out to the Hamptons on the weekend.
New York City!
Yeah, when we asked Mercedes, they said it wasn't a sure thing still that it was coming here. Or maybe they're just playing coy. But they said they were considering it, you know, how they PR people always act.
Do you think
U.S. customers would go for something this small for Mercedes?
The A3 doesn't sell well, so I doubt it.
You know, no matter how nice it is, I think it's still going to be too small.
The A3 is about $4,000 overpriced.
Yeah, the same thing with the BMW 1 Series. So do you think Mercedes would actually do a better job?
No.
So that is the Mercedes A-Class for perhaps 2012, 2013, who knows? And I believe we can wrap up the New York Auto Show for this for now. But after the break, we'll have a full discussion of what went on in Shanghai. Yes, in China. Can you believe that, Ben?
Dun, 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 dun.
Oh, no. I have to stop being honest.
Can I blame that on Jeff, too?
Yes.
Sure. That was Jeff. Jeff wanted to pre-record that.
So, for now, I'd like to take a couple minutes to talk about our good friends at Advance Auto Parts. Sure, you've heard of Advance. If you haven't, visit our website, roundaboutshow.com, and click on their advertisement on the right-hand side of the page, and you, yes, you, can save big money.
Certainly you don't mean me.
No, anyone.
Wow.
Jump on your iOS-equipped device or your Android-powered telephone. Go to roundaboutshow.com in the web browser. You'll see on the right-hand sidebar of the page, which is the right, the little Advanced Auto Parts button. Go ahead and click that on. It'll take you right to their website, and it'll give you access to an exclusive affiliate offer. Are you ready for this? I hope you're sitting down. Hope you brought an extra pair of socks because I'm going to knock them off. You can save $10 on a purchase of $30, $20 on a purchase of $50, or $30 off a purchase of $100. How about that?
I think that's pretty fantastic.
I think so, too.
That's amazing.
So it's very important. It's more than amazing. It's stupendous. Very important, though, to get these deals, you have to go through the link on our website, roundaboutshow.com. Again, that's on the right-hand sidebar. Navigate there. You can't miss it. Click on the link. Follow it through to Advance. And that's how you get the savings. Also, any order exceeding $75, you get free shipping. And you can even get free shipping and pick up in-store if you'd rather do that. Talk to the friendly folks at Advance. We do appreciate their help. Right, Ben?
That's right, Craig.
They're a solid sponsor of the Roundabout podcast.
They's good folks.
They is. So, as I promised before the brief commercial interlude, we were talking about Shanghai. We are talking about Shanghai. So first up, we've got the BMW M5 concept. What can you guys tell us about this?
It's awesome.
It's a new V8 auto stop start.
It's a V-type 8-cylinder engine.
Available with manual in America.
Ooh, one of like three vehicles still.
M5 is so awesome.
It's a sexy car.
Yeah.
I really like how
that was a sigh.
No, I was just going to say, I like how they did the M version of the F10 5 Series, because I was kind of worried about it for a minute, but I think it looks really good. It's a lot better than the last gen M5 in terms of appearance, anyway.
Yeah, in terms of styling. But...
ugly.
But this is a concept.
So I'm sure it'll be a hell of a performer. Mm-hmm. Turbocharged V8.
Yeah.
All kinds of fast, go fast goodies.
Mm-hmm. And it'll be more fuel efficient, 25% more fuel efficient from the 13.
So like 8 miles per gallon.
Yeah, the last one got 13 mpg in the combined cycle, so.
Amazing. And it's got fender vents, too. I wonder if they're functional. We'll have to ask Jim Hall, because I'm pretty sure he would know. And in fact, he was probably even in Shanghai.
More than likely.
So, Kia K2, another Kia concept. And a post by Zachary Bowman.
No, this car is so cute, too. Look at it.
I haven't read it. What is this thing?
It's adorable. It's a... it's basically the sort of Chinese market Rio.
So it's cheaper.
Yeah, it's got a 1.4 liter or 1.6 liter engine. It's just it's the Chinese market Rio, basically.
Oh, so it's crappy is what you mean.
it just looks like a really little itty bitty Optima.
Yeah.
It's not a bad thing. I love those wheels Kia has been doing, those flat ones, cutouts for the spokes.
Yeah, those are delicious.
They're like cookie cutters.
1.4. Exactly. like a spritzer cookie, right?
Yeah, you could extrude.
Exactly.
Does anyone know why this these fog lights, these L-shaped fog lights, are getting so popular? They're like in all the small cars right now. Is it like one supplier just pushed it to all the OEMs and they're like, yeah, why not? We'll figure out a way to get that on the car.
It may just be to help proportionally, you know, make them look more efficient, I guess.
Eric is taking a picture.
You're a little bit behind. That was during the commercial.
Like 45 minutes ago.
I don't know what. The camera is there. You're looking at it right now, Eric.
That's funny. Apparently. Your video must be super behind.
He's in the boondocks.
1.4 liter. 1.4 liter four cylinder. 107 neck breaking horses.
It's impressive.
Or a 123. So it sounds like a pretty similar powertrain to what we're getting here in the Rio.
No.
No.
No. Ours is way better.
Well, four-cylinder, 1.6 liters, manual or automatic.
Different power.
Similar.
But different.
But it's a powertrain.
Different.
Separate but equal.
130 horsepower and probably more fuel efficient ours.
Next up, Audi. Just ignore that. Steamroll. Move ahead. Another e-tron.
It's an e-tron.
I don't like what you said, so I will ignore it and move on.
They're all e-trons, aren't they?
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this one has doors, and it's based off that really, really sexy A3 that we saw in Geneva.
And it has a roof.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Are they just slapping the name e-tron on everything they make now?
Anything that has some sort of electricness.
So it has a radio, so it's the
right. Yeah.
AM, FM, no less.
Cassette.
There it is.
What are they saying here? The five-cylinder turboed engine that was in the other A3 concept is gone, understandably, and they've replaced it with a 1.4-liter four-cylinder, 211 horsepower, plus a 27-horsepower electric motor.
So is Audi...
6.8 seconds.
Does Audi have a... I can't remember right now. Do they have a hybrid car?
Q5 hybrid.
Yeah, the Volkswagen Touareg hybrid. So I figured they must have given an Audi one of those.
Well, the Q5 is different because it's the smaller one. They're not doing a... I don't know if they're doing a Q7 hybrid. But there's also going to be... I thought there was going to be an Ace... There's an A8 hybrid coming, too.
Yeah, they seem to be getting a little bit behind BMW and Mercedes on the whole, you know, fulfilling cafe fuel efficiency type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But they're putting so much money into electric right now.
Them or
Jetta hybrid, as Jeff Ross points out in the chat room.
Oh, yeah.
Jefferson Ross made it, huh? Welcome, Jeff.
To the chit chat.
Yeah, good. So they've got to be coming out with one of these A3s for production if they're hinting at it, you know, twice now. This has got to be a pretty close
design,
I think.
Yeah, I would think that the A3 that we saw, because it was a sedan, and Audi's long talked about how they want to do an A3 sedan in the U.S., that's going to happen.
Yeah.
So the e-tron is going to be used for, I thought originally it was supposed to be an electric car, so now they're going to bilk it as a hybrid? Is that what's
happening? I'm sure the e-tron is just what they're branding as the concept version, but yeah, it'll probably just be A3 hybrid when it launches. Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
So moving along, another green car.
The NHC, the new hybrid car.
Moving along, the next vehicle is also green. Kia, Subaru XV concept. That is quite a shade of green.
It's cute.
Even you wanted to talk about this one, so go ahead.
Yeah.
I have nothing to say.
I like Subaru. It's because you don't have any taste.
Burn.
Yeah. No, it's kind of Impreza-based, Impreza-looking, but it's still unclear as to whether or not this is going to come to the States. But if it does, it wouldn't necessarily be like an Outback Sport. It might just be something new altogether.
Yeah, I mean, I think they were trying to shy away from that, using that nameplate again, right? Because it confuses people with the regular Outback.
Yeah, because the Outback is legacy-based. They're trying not to do that anymore. So it's sort of uncertain as to what is going to happen with the XV. But don't be surprised if it makes its way over here.
Yeah, this definitely looks like the Impreza, like from the front and the back.
I think you can totally tell it's a concept, though, because it looks more like the original Impreza concept than it does the Impreza production car.
Right.
And the Impreza concept was really stunning.
Was that sort of was that silvery gunmetal kind of showed Detroit?
Yeah, back from L.A.
Yes. That was good looking, definitely.
It's
transition.
Maybe it's just the green and the electric green color and the blue and the headlamp stuff, but the proportion has it's almost very toy like when you kind of look at it, especially that side view shot of it. Kind of the scale, and of course those giant ass wheels on there. Sorry if I can't say ass, I just said it twice. those giant wheels on there, I like this a lot better than the other Subaru we just looked at from the New York show.
Aww.
I think Lola's chiming in.
I guess he doesn't agree with me.
Who is that?
It's Lola.
The gigantic horse dog.
Yeah.
Lola.
Oh, God. Hey, big girl.
Although Captain Universe concept.
Are you talking to me, Steven?
Huh?
Were you talking to me?
I didn't call you nothing.
I'll be back in a minute.
Okay.
So what? Volvo Captain Universe.
Captain Universe.
The weird one.
It's so ugly.
Signs of disgust.
Look at this thing. It's just.
Are we unraveling? What's happening?
I don't mind it. That bad?
I don't know. The wheels look like they weren't put in the right spots almost.
It literally looks like it was printed out like on a printer. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, did the Chinese designers come up with this, or were they involved with this at all? Like, this is weird. I don't get it.
It's very un-Volvo.
Yeah. That domed roof thing is really odd.
Mm-hmm. It's got a power dome, too.
Yeah, it's really strange, and I want them to kill it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of blank sheet metal on this vehicle. A lot of blank sheet metal. Mm-hmm. There's like hardly any details. There's no lines that excite me. The that front grille is way too tiny for that fascia.
Hood looks.
Oh God.
Yeah.
So Jeff Ross tweeted a picture out earlier when that came out, and it showed the profile of this versus the Ford Interceptor.
Ugh, same things.
Yeah, I mean it's shocking how similar the profiles were on this.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me like of some doodle like from the 1950s, you know, of what they thought a futuristic car would be.
I can see that.
Welcome to the future. In the year 1960, we'll all be driving these.
Eastern time zone, Detroit, Michigan.
Did you guys see some of the details on that interior where they have the flower print on the almost fine china like material? They're used to ceramic on the shifter and on the dash, and it's so bizarre.
Yeah, it's
I do
really
like that
weird.
Laser etching, though. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully that actually comes to interior soon. I thought maybe it was coming to the XTS.
I think all the designers were high.
They just let the Chinese designers just like go with it on this one.
Yeah.
They just threw their hands up and said, whatever, you know.
Do what I want.
Yeah.
I'll do what I want.
The last one we got here, guys, Buick Envision concept.
Jesus.
Shanghai.
Oof.
Gross.
Another crossover, great, just what the market needs.
But
tailored to the Chinese market.
It's those headlights.
How do you get in it?
you get absorbed into it.
It has giant scissor doors.
Scissor doors.
Is it like conductive entry? Suck me inside of it.
Does look a wee bit dangerous.
Yeah, it's got these two giant scissor doors.
Wow.
It's got a pretty big butt too.
I really hope this isn't the future of Buick, because it's going to look awfully an awful lot like an Infiniti, you know?
That's
design theme right now.
That's a good call.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure what to make of this one.
I don't know if I like how all the sort of design elements on the front end all point towards, like, a point at the Buick logo.
Yeah.
It's wearing... Like it's wearing like a strap-on nose or something, you know what I mean?
Oh no!
Yeah,
someone's got to Photoshop that. A strap-on nose.
It's just weird.
Does anyone actually think that this ends to our whatever they're going to call it? The Encore was the rumored name, the R Compact Buick.
No, crossover. I don't think so. This is even far out for. You know, American Buick design.
Well, this was another one designed by one of the Asian designers, right? Yeah. And this is another for the Chinese market thing.
Yep.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The
question for you, Dolly, in the profile view, it looks like the car is sitting above the tires too tall or something. It's weird. Unless they just brought up.
So generally, when you're looking at this from a car designer standpoint, you want to keep that. The bottom of a vehicle, you want to keep it below the middle point of a tire, because then it starts to look way too top heavy, especially over that rear tire. It's like it's way above that center point of that tire, and it's I don't know. I don't know what's trying to drive over, but probably a lot of hills sloped.
Yeah, these tires are surprisingly not flattering for a concept car. Got huge sidewalls.
Yeah. So that, I think, guys, we can wrap up the Shanghai show and process this episode of Roundabout. Good hustle, everyone.
Good hustle.
You stay classy.
Pat each other on our butts. Good hustle.
Whoa.
Yeah, let's... awkward.
More dirty talk.
So, yes. Thank
Craig
you guys for joining us.
Touch himself.
Colin Whoa. Bird.
Yo.
Auto Bird.
No.
Cars.org or something.
Cars.com. Kickingtires.com.
What are you working on right now? Reviews? Videos? What's going on?
We just put up to all our winter testing for the Chevy Volt and the Nissan Leaf we bought. And that's up right now. And definitely take a look at that, especially for the Leaf, about just the fluctuating range and how, you know, it was so unpredictable.
Yeah.
And we're going to do winners and losers, you know, our top picks of the auto show next Monday. I mean, on Monday.
Well, very good. Thank you for making it. I know it's been a free-for-all here, but we're glad you could join us.
Well, yeah, thanks for inviting me.
Dalibor Domovsky.
Yes.
What's going on? What are you working on?
Right now, I'm working on a tough loss to Stephen Ewing on Words with Friends, but I will get you back. No, I'm actually working on a bunch of articles, I guess you could say, at the moment. You guys caught me at an opportune time.
Okay. Very good. Where can people find you?
Yep. Sidequesting.com and Twitter.com/CoolRat, since we are officially selling Car Design Fetish. Boo-hoo. So you'll be tracking our car stuff in other locations.
Okay. Well, keep us up to date. Keep us abreast. What's going on?
You said
Charles Chrome, Autotropolis.
Yes.
Glad you could make it for this free-for-all.
Glad to be here. I'm just doing my daily Autotropolis thing. And you know what? I just posted a review on AutoSavant. I had a Silverado HD 3500. 4x4, of course. So that was interesting. Yes.
Oh,
I love
that on Autotropolis, right?
Yes.
And Eric is showing us Lola, or he showed us Lola 3 minutes ago.
Exactly, Craig.
For 15.
Well, Charles, thank you as always. Mr. Rumblestrip, Eric Tritko.
Yes, sir.
Rumblestrip.net and elsewhere.
Yes. Hopefully
news
this week.
And review.
Yep, hopefully this weekend I'll be finishing my review of the Prius I had in December.
Oh, so you're on top of things.
Well, actually, that's the only thing I haven't. I'm caught up with it. Well, actually, I take that back. I still got to do the Jetta review too. So, working on stuff. So, and then announcing it Mile and Dragway tomorrow night, Saturday. So.
Oh, how nice! Racing is starting up again in Michigan.
It is. Very excited.
All right. Mm-hmm. Michelle Naranjo, Ms. Motormouth.
Yes, darling.
And Autobytel.
I am. I'm actually in my office. I think I'm going to start doing the show from here. I'm going to figure out how to get beer in here, but, you know.
Automotive by telephone, right?
No, there's a website.
Oh, you can't call in?
I have a desk phone that's never rung.
Press 1 for SUVs. Press 2 for crossovers.
What if you have a rotary dial then?
I don't. It's actually got too many buttons. So I didn't even have the number put on my business card because I don't want people to call it.
What are you working on? Anything exciting?
Just setting up for the relaunch in June. We've got a jillion articles that we're producing right now. So
140 articles in 20 days.
140?
Yeah, I have more than one writer.
Holy crap.
Yeah. It's fun because
sounds like
I get lots and lots of people like crawling out of the woodwork going, "Hey, do you have work?
Give me jobs.
Work. Well, thanks for joining us, Naranjo.
Well, thank you, Craigie, and thank you for the lovely time at the New York Auto Show. You were just
the show.
Real friendly type.
Oh, yeah. And Stephen Ewing, you are also there. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for being a friend at the New York show.
Thank you for being a friend. Bum, 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 bum.
Saved it.
You need that sound.
He's never heard the
Autoblog.com. You are the test fleet coordinator manager.
He just totally blew by my Golden Girls reference. He's like,
really good with steamrolling on this episode. It's good.
Yeah,
it's
make
the delay over the phone. It's like... But
yes,
I'm
with the auto blogs, and I make the cars happen amongst other things.
You're a programmer.
I'm
a test
programmer.
Fleet directional manager for the northeastern region. I understand.
Executive the country device. Region.
He's
the
not
country. The country region.
Country region. Do you do auto blog China too?
I do not do auto blog China.
Oh man. Well,
speaking
Steven,
of
pleasure
the,
as always.
The fleet, though,
hi
tuned.
Lola.
We're getting our new long-term car on Monday.
Ooh.
And what is that?
I can't tell you.
Is it a Subaru?
It's not a Subaru.
Is it another Equus?
It's another Equus. Yeah, we're gonna have two Equi.
You can have Equi. Well, Steven, thanks for joining us. And did I miss anyone? No, okay.
It's Ben great. Sanders.
He's fine.
Meh.
Oh.
Yeah,
I'm here too.
Colonel.
And remember, you can watch Roundabout Live every Friday evening starting at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 3:30 Pacific. And don't forget to check out the rest of the Autoline family of fine programs, including Autoline Detroit, Autoline After Hours, and, of course, Autoline Daily. And if you want your question or comment addressed, you can always get in touch with us on the ROAB hotline. Just give us a call at 1-559-ROAB-411. That's 1-559-762-2411. Also, check out the Roundabout Emporium on our website. Buy all kinds of great Roundabout branded gear, from T-shirts and hats to hoodies and mugs. Great stuff at the Roundabout Emporium. Follow the link on the right-hand side of the website. You can't miss it. We're on Twitter, twitter.com/roundaboutshow. We're also on Facebook. That's predictably facebook.com/roundaboutshow.
Where you can enter
like
our contest.
Us and leave a comment on the page to be entered to win, as we mentioned earlier, a set of perfect bungees. And we'll have more details on that next week. or right now.
Or right now.
Start entering today. Again, like us and leave a comment on the page. Anything on there, like good or bad, you will be entered to win a set of these unique polyurethane bungees. Great. Once again, that's facebook.com/roundaboutshow. Like us and leave a comment. We do appreciate it. And if you ever want to miss an action... Thank you, Michelle. And if you never want to miss an action-packed episode, subscribe. We're on iTunes and, of course, the Zoom Marketplace as well. And with that, we can wrap things up. Thank you for listening, and please join us again next week as we circle the roundabout. Talk to you then.
The dog's adorable.
Craig, you're going to love this dog in the next 3 minutes or so when you see it.
When the telegraph makes its way out.
Hilarious, isn't it? Yeah, it makes sense.
Talk about steamrolling.
Steamrolling sounds sexual.
Anyway. And of course,
we're still alive.
I'm going to write, oh, really? I'm writing the Urban Dictionary definition right now.
Oh, dear.
There I am again. Howdy, everyone.
Now you're showing up.
There it is.
There he is.
There's the silhouette.
But it's so dark you can't see him.
Forget it. Just forget it. He won't make it lighter.
There's a doily near his head.
It's a ho-ho. Did I eat it? No.
Where do you live? 1968?